I'm sure that you've all heard the joke about a church that had a bulletin board decorated with pictures of soldiers who had been killed in service to their country, and the board was trimmed with red, white, and blue and had little flags on it. And a little boy was looking up at the board when the pastor came up, and he asked the little boy how he liked the board, and the boy asked what it was all about. And the pastor explained that the pictures were of men in their church who had died in the service, and the little boy responded by saying, was that the morning service or the evening service? So let's just be clear that it's not talking about in service here, but it's in service to our country that we honor people who have died. I'm sure that I'm not telling you anything that you don't already know or that you could find out very easily for yourself. The history of Memorial Day started after the war that America fought in that killed more Americans than any other war, which was the Civil War. And around 1968, the tradition began, first, I believe, in Pennsylvania, of honoring the graves of the Union soldiers who were killed in northern skirmishes. And then a couple of years later, it began here, I believe in Virginia, actually, where there were some people who began to honor the graves of the Union soldiers that were killed here in the South. It initially was called Decoration Day because it was a time to decorate the graves. And then over the course of time, with a number of other wars having transpired, it began to become known as Memorial Day and is now a national holiday. Unfortunately, one of the things that's happened with Memorial Day that happens with so many other of the holidays that we have in our country is that we can lose sight so easily of what they originally were instituted for, and Memorial Day has kind of become that time that's a kickoff to summer, right? That you brush off the charcoal briquettes and you have a day off with family and you do the relaxation thing and it's the start of summer. And not that it's wrong to spend time with your family on a national holiday like this. I'm most certainly going to do that myself. But we also need to make sure that we take time in our heart of hearts to recognize what Memorial Day is all about. In my mind, Memorial Day is about recognizing the sacrifice that some people have made for the benefit of the liberty of many in our nation. We think about those who have died for our nation's liberty. Their one act of sacrifice is really what defines their lives. I think about those plaques that are outside of our church. Some of you may have actually known those men, but most of us don't. And we don't know anything about them. We don't know whether they were good students or we don't know if they were bad students. We don't know much about their relationships with people, what they would have done for work or anything like this. But we do know this about them, that they fought for our nation and they died for our liberty. We might ask ourselves sometimes as Christians, is it appropriate for us to memorialize anybody besides the Lord Jesus Christ himself? Is it right for us to do that as individuals? Is it right for us to do that as a nation? Is it right for us to do that even as a church, to pause on a day like today and to remember those who have fought for our freedom, to sing songs of patriotism in our church? Well, we're going to look to Scripture today to find the answer to that question, but I'll give you a hint. I'll give you the answer ahead of time that the passage that we're going to look at today gives to us a resounding yes, that it is appropriate for us to recognize the sacrifice that other people have made for the liberty and for the benefit of other people. A question that came up in some of the reading that I was doing this week and preparing, and I almost went off on a tangent to prepare a message just on this, but a question was asked, as we think about those that are remembered on days like today, this weekend, Memorial Day, and how it does define who they are by what is on that plaque outside, what will we be remembered for? It's a good question, isn't it? And we might want to think about that as we go through this text this morning, as we make applications to our lives. What will we be remembered for in our life? And I suppose the older we get, the more we think about that, don't we? What will we be remembered for? What would you want to have written on your tombstone? What do you want to have written on a plaque like that about you? How would you want to be remembered? In today's passage, there's two things that I'd like to accomplish. One, I want to make application from this passage to Memorial Day and why remembering things like this is important. But two, I want to make application to our own lives of that we would strive to honor God's righteousness in our own lives, but also that righteousness might be a means of bringing blessing to other people in our society. So again, we need to recognize the reason that this woman came and gave this rather costly gift of the Lord Jesus Christ is because we remember that 2,000 years ago, Jesus Christ died on a cross called Calvary, and that he rose again, and that his sacrifice was great. We remember her because of the sacrifice of Jesus Christ, and I want to build somewhat of a case for you today that the reason why those men died and others in our country died for our country's freedom and liberty is because Jesus Christ, first of all, died for that, and that because we remember the life and the death and the resurrection of Jesus Christ, we are prone to and we have a desire to remember those who have died for our freedom in this country. I have four simple points that I want to make today about why Memorial Day is important, why sacrifice and the liberty that we have needs to be remembered. First of all, I would say this. Sacrifice is giving something of value for the cause of a greater value. It's giving something that has value. Every human life has value. Every person who died in defense of our country was a person of value. There wasn't a one of them that didn't have value. But they believed in a cause that had greater value. That's what this woman did. She anointed Jesus with perfume that was so valuable that it was considered to be the value of 1 year's income. Now you think about what that is for you. You know, just do the math in your head of what your annual income is, either for you as an individual or for you as a household, if you share income with somebody else. That's probably quite a bit of money. Even for those in our society that would be living in the most meager of means, it's a lot of money. You take a year's income to a person's household, and that's how much this perfume costs. Now, I don't know if you can buy perfume that costs that much today. You probably can. I don't know. I should have looked that up. But that would be an expensive box of perfume, wouldn't it, if you were to take that and to just simply, and then especially just to take it and, you know, if my wife buys me an expensive cologne, I try to make it last as long as I can. I only use it on special occasions because I know how valuable it is. But here this woman came and she broke the jar that it was in and she spilled it all over the Lord Jesus Christ. Why did she do that? Something that was so valuable that she put that upon Jesus. The reason why she did it was because she recognized that there was something in Jesus that was of greater value and greater importance than what that one jar of perfume could be. And what would it be that was of greater value in the Lord Jesus Christ? Well, this woman figured out somehow, some way, what the rest of them were not getting the clues on. These disciples that were following around Jesus for 3.5 years and were watching every move that he made, they didn't quite figure it out at this point. But here it is just moments before the death of Jesus Christ, and this woman figures it out that Jesus is the Messiah, the Old Testament Messiah that was prophesied, that he was going to come into this world and that he was going to be the Savior of the world. A little pop quiz for you. What does the word Messiah mean? You don't need to answer that, but what does the word Messiah mean? It's the Messiah is the Jewish word, the Hebrew word for what we would call Christ, so it's one and the same. Christ is the Greek word for it. And so when Jesus is called Jesus Christ, he's really called Jesus the Messiah. And the Messiah, the word Messiah simply means this, the Anointed One. The Anointed One, and there's someday I'll do a whole message on what that term Messiah means, that he is the Anointed One. And in a short version of it, it means that he is the one who was chosen to meet every single need of the human heart for time and for eternity. The Anointed One. And here he is just moments before he's going to be going to the cross of Calvary to die for the sins of the world, and nobody has anointed him. And this lady gets it. And so she takes what is of the most valuable thing that she can possibly find. I don't know what she had to do to buy this. I don't know what she had to sell. I don't know what she had to borrow. I don't know what she had to do to get the money to buy this perfume. But she went out and she got the most valuable thing that she could get. And she brought that and she did what? She anointed the Lord Jesus Christ with that oil. Why? Because she took something that was of value. And she was willing to sacrifice it for something that was of a greater value, a cause that was of a greater value. And that's exactly what these soldiers did in our country. You know, I can't imagine what it would have been like for them going through boot camp in those days prior to war, knowing that they were going to be shipped off to some other part of the world where they very likely may never come back. I think of that, of the guys that did come back, what must they have been thinking when they were going? But I believe that for many of them, and you hear stories about guys who signed up who were too young to enter into it. You know, they lied about their age just so they could be able to fight in the war. And some guys, you know, went out of their way to be able to do that. I've even known of stories of guys who, before the Second World War, before the United States got involved with it, they left here, they went to Canada, and they joined with the British Royal Forces to be able to fight. I can't imagine doing that if I didn't have to do that. I don't know that I would have that moxie to be able to do that. But they went. Because while they saw that their life had value, and I don't think that there would have been a one of them who wouldn't have been thinking that I have a wonderful life ahead of me and I have lots of things that I want to do with my life, that my life has value, but they believed in a cause that was greater value than just their individual life. And that was for liberty and for freedom in this country. In your bulletin, we have the names of those two men, William Parks and Jerry Burkhead. Both were men who were a part of this church who made that ultimate sacrifice for our freedom, one from the Second World War and one from the Vietnam War. How thankful we ought to be for those men. Simple question for you this morning. What do you value this morning? Really, what do we value as a faith community here at Zion Baptist Church? What is it that we value as a faith community? What do we value as a society and as a nation here in the good old U.S. of A.? Those are important questions for us because what we value is going to determine what we're going to be willing to make sacrifice for in the future. So do you value your relationships in life, whether it be with your spouse, your children, your parents, your coworkers? If you value those are things you're going to be willing to sacrifice for. What do you value within this community of faith? What's important to us as a church? Those are things that we're going to be willing to sacrifice for. And what do you value as a nation? Those are things that we're going to be willing to sacrifice for in the future. And that's a tough question for us to consider this morning, isn't it? What does the United States of America value today? I'll let you answer that question. That's a question that probably should be asked to our president, and to our Congress, and to our Senate. What do we value today? Because it's going to be those things that we value that we will be willing to sacrifice for. But I will say this before I move on, is that one of the best ways to determine what the value of something is by what has been willing to be sacrificed for it. And in this nation, I know what's of value, or what should be of value to us, and it is our liberty, and it is our freedom, because men and women gave their lives for that liberty that we enjoy. And it is of great value, and it should be valued greatly. And also in this country, we should recognize the value of the spiritual liberty that Christians can have because of the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. God gave His only Son that we could have freedom for all of eternity. Sacrifice also has this idea to it, that it is given for the goal of God's righteousness and for the liberty of mankind. I find that those two things are always tied together in Scripture, the righteousness, the glory of God, but also the liberty or the freedom, the blessing to mankind. And this woman, what she did in some ways because she understood what the Word of God was saying here about Jesus Christ, that if He is the Messiah, if He is the Anointed One, then somewhere along the line, somebody needs to anoint Him and help prepare Him for this sacrifice that He is going to make. And so she did that. She made great sacrifice for Him. She understood that through the Lord Jesus Christ, that God had a plan for the redemption of mankind, and that when Jesus Christ would die and take our sins with Him, that there was the opportunity for the righteousness of God to come to the human race in a way that it had never had in all of the history of mankind. And this woman was willing to give the ultimate sacrifice to be able to prepare the Lord Jesus for that. Whether she knew what she was doing was in concert with God's plan or not, and for the liberty of mankind, I don't know. But she did it. And I think about the men and women that have died for this nation in a similar way. They sacrificed themselves based on a belief that I believe reflects the righteousness of God. Whether they were born-again Christians or not, whether they went thinking, I'm going to die for God and country or not, I don't know. Some of them probably did, some of them probably didn't. But whether if they did or they didn't, they went believing in the righteousness of God. And here's why I say that, because I believe that every American who's gone to war has gone so because they've believed in this constitution that we have as a nation that was really spurned by the Declaration of Independence of this nation. And in that Declaration of Independence, it talks to us about this liberty that we have. And let me read to you from some of the opening lines of our Declaration of Independence. Our founding fathers of this nation said this: "We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain inalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness." Inalienable rights that are given to us. And how are those rights given to us? What does our Declaration of Independence say to us about how we got those rights? It's, you didn't get those rights because you deserve them. You didn't get those rights because you paid for them. You didn't get those rights because you were born into them. No, you got those rights of life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. How? Because we believed as a nation at that time that we were created by a Creator. And at the time of our creation, that Creator gave us those rights. It begs me to wonder, in this nation that has lost its way in understanding and recognizing that we are created people made by one true Creator who we call the God of the Bible, that when we fail to recognize Him, could it be the reason why the civil rights and the individual rights of this nation are getting so out of whack is because we've forgotten that they are rights that are given to us by God? And I would even go so far as to question, do we really still have those rights if we're a nation that has ceased to recognize that Creator that is over us as a nation? Oh, this nation, we need to come back to that idea that we have those rights only because we have a Creator who we worship and who we serve. I believe that those soldiers who went on those missions where they laid down their lives for us did so because they believed that we have a Creator who has given us those rights. When you look at it from a God-centered perspective, the sacrifice that those men and women made for our nation, it just simply grows. Because if we do believe that we are a nation that is founded on rights that we have because of our Creator, and that people actually laid down their lives because of what our Creator has given to us, doesn't it make their sacrifice even that much more amazing, that much more honorable, that much more valuable to us? Memorial Day is that time when we reflect upon the things that make this nation great. And we need to value them more and more because people died to protect them. But it's also important for us to recognize the things that made this country great are really rooted in the very righteousness of God that was given to us in the person of Jesus Christ. And it's only when our society strives to honor that righteousness of God that we'll be on the right track when it comes to things like whether we engage in war, whether we are willing to call our soldiers to lay their lives down for the freedom of America in the future. Only when we strive to honor the righteousness of God will that liberty continue to be a privilege of the American people. The Christian today must stay on the front lines of shining forth that righteousness of God. We may not be on the front lines of war, but in the battlefield, but we are on the front lines of the war for the righteousness of God, and even at great sacrifice for this nation to stay great. Sacrifice, interestingly enough, though, is oftentimes misunderstood. This woman was misunderstood for what she did. Those disciples were very quick to criticize her and say, "Oh my goodness, what a waste. You know, she spilled out that perfume that she spilled out. You think of all of the meals that could have given to the poor, the mission projects that we could have gone on, the number of trips we could have taken to Guatemala, all of those kinds of things, the things we could have done with that money other than just simply wasting it to anoint the Lord Jesus Christ." She was misunderstood. But I will just say this, that honoring God and worshiping God takes extravagance, both personally and as a community. You know, one of the things that our forefathers did for us that I'm afraid that we will be losing in this time of economic frugalness, and not that these things happened in great prosperity in our nation, economically anyways, but you know, you look at this building that we're in right now, and 100 years ago, this building was built. And can you imagine what it would cost to build this building today? I mean, I don't know what the price tag would be on this, but I have been involved in some building projects over the year. I'm just going to, just off the top of my head, I'm going to say I don't think that you would build this building for much under $2 million today. It would be an enormous cost to replace what we have here. But yet they did it willingly and freely, and with a lot of detail. You know, I mean, the stained glass windows and the architecture of it and the beauty of the building goes towards that they were willing to make sacrifice to an extravagant means to be able to worship and to honor God. That's what this woman did, and that's somewhat of what the call that God puts upon us, but that's for another sermon. But let us think about that this morning, that to honor God really does cost an extravagant sacrifice on our part. And war and the soldiers that fight in them are usually misunderstood by the society that we live in. I can't think of a war in America's history where there hasn't been some misunderstanding of either the soldiers or the generals or the politicians that sent them to war. Even in the wars that have happened in our lifetime, every single one of them, I'm sure, has been questioned by some people and have difficulty in being able to justify those wars. It's amazing how time helps us to see perspective, and I can't imagine what our nation would be like if we hadn't had soldiers who had gone, who had fought, and who had died in those wars. Instead of being a nation that sees the equal value of all people, we could have been overcome by the evil of thinking that one race is superior to another. Instead of being a country where every person has the opportunity to become the president of this nation, we would be a nation that degrades every citizen in an attempt to equalize different segments of our society. Instead of being a country that provides a peaceful society for its citizens, we would have been a nation that would have been gripped and controlled by the fear of terror like so many other nations in this world are. You know, we're all capable of misunderstanding the actions of others, but time does allow us the privilege of looking at those actions with greater clarity of the purpose and the end results. And can we look back at the sacrifice of the men and women and give thanks for what they've done for us? Most certainly Jesus did for this woman. He recognized what she did, and he gave thanks for her. And we can for those soldiers who have died for our nation, died believing in something greater than themselves. And as we have an even greater understanding of the sacrifice that they've made, should it not motivate us? And should it not give us courage as American citizens to do the same? As Christian American citizens, don't we know that the future will hold? We don't know what the future will hold for this nation. Even greater sacrifice than already has been made may be called upon us at some time, even in our lifetime. And for the church, the sacrifice that is needed to accomplish the mission of our Lord must be made. The wonderful thing about this story that Jesus told in Matthew chapter 26 is that sacrifice is something that should be remembered. Notice how this passage ends, and I'm going to read this again, verse 13. Jesus says, "I tell you the truth, wherever this gospel is preached throughout the world," and it is preached throughout the world, "what she has done will also be told in memory of her." Now, we don't know this woman's name. We don't know who she was. But we know that this woman made a sacrifice in honor of the Lord Jesus Christ. And here it is almost 2,000 years later, and we are still remembering what she has done for the Lord Jesus Christ and the sacrifice that she made. Is it appropriate to remember those who've made sacrifice for the greater cause of mankind? It absolutely is. Is it appropriate for us to have those plaques out there? Sure it is. Is it appropriate for us as a church to have a service that's dedicated to the memory of those who fought for our nation? It most certainly is. Is it appropriate for us as a nation to set aside this day where we take a rest from work and from our normal activities and we say, we're thankful that we live in a country that has the liberties and the freedoms that we have? It most certainly is, and we should remember those who have died for our country. But let me make this point. We don't remember them for their own glorification. I think one of the neatest things that this nation has is in Arlington Cemetery in Washington, D.C., is the Tomb of the Unknown Soldier. And the reverence and the respect that we give to that as much as we want to remember those soldiers that we can name, like these two plaques that are outside of our church today, there were countless other guys who died, and we don't really know where they are or who they are or what happened to them. But we remember them and we honor them. And in some ways, their death, while it isn't giving any honor to who they are and whoever it is that's buried in there, it's not giving any honor to his name or to his family, but it's giving honor to this country. And as it gives honor to this country, and a country that was based upon the Word of God and the righteousness of God's Word, it is in turn giving honor to who God is. The sacrifice of this woman, it's interesting that she is an unnamed woman, because her sacrifice, while it is remembered and while she is remembered, it ultimately gives glory to God. And so it is for the sacrifice of those who've laid down their life for this nation. It ultimately gives glory to this nation, but beyond that, gives glory to God. And so should our lives be. When we become concerned about what kind of thanks am I going to get for what I do in sacrifices that I've made, then we've lost our way. But it's when we can give recognition and glory to that which is beyond ourselves, whether it be to our nation or to our God, therein we're understanding what sacrifice and the fight for liberty is really about. I hope you enjoy your Memorial Day weekend, but may it be an opportunity and a time to give pause, to give thanks for those Americans that have given their life for your freedom, but also as a Christian this morning, to pause and to give thanks to God for the freedom that you have in the Lord Jesus Christ, the eternal freedom that we have from Him, the freedom from our sins. Father in heaven, we ask that you will bless this wonderful story of this lady who made a great sacrifice to honor Jesus Christ and to prepare Him, but also to be a reminder for all of us of what it was that He was doing on the cross of Calvary. Father, we do pause and give thanks to you for our nation, a nation that was founded on Christian principles. And Father, we strongly, sincerely, eagerly, earnestly desire that our nation would continue in that path. Lord, help us to be a nation that recognizes God as our Creator, and the rights that we have are only rights that we have because you've given them to us. Lord, on this Memorial Day weekend, as we spend time with family and friends and do a lot of the things that our society does, Lord, help us also to give thanks for those who paid the price for our freedom. But Lord, also let us, as Christian Americans, unashamedly recognize the freedom that we have in Christ and the joy that that brings to our soul, the ultimate liberty that we have for this life and for the life to come. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.